National Cathedral packed for a memorial service for the first man to walk on the moon who died of a heart attack at age 82. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to safelight.com.
I lost weight with the Ambrin program.
I lost a ton of weight with the Ambrin program.
Thousands of women over 40 who used to struggle with weight gain are having incredible success with the Ambrin program. That's because Ambrin balances your hormones naturally, making losing weight surprisingly easy. Plus, Ambrin eliminates other symptoms of unbalanced hormones, like hot flashes, irritability, and sleeplessness. Call in the next 15 minutes to receive a risk-free trial with a 30-day supply free. Call 1-800-921-8060. That's 1-800-921-8060.
Again, on Wall Street, the Dow up just 8 points ahead of the Fed's decision on any new economic stimulus due out in a few hours. The price of oil is up more than a dollar this morning, back over $98 a barrel as gas goes up another penny. AAA's national average for self-serve regular $3.87 a gallon now. Kids are out of class, fourth straight day in Chicago, but there may be some light at the end of the tunnel in their teacher strike. Fox News Radio's Jennifer Kuiper live in Chicago.
Chicago Teachers Union President Karen Lewis emerges from hours of negotiations and says she's very happy, but there's more work to do.
It seems like we are definitely coming much closer together than we were.
The union and the school district have butted heads over teacher evaluations and the rehiring of laid-off teachers. Board of Education President David Vitale says,
I think it was a very productive evening. I think we both felt it was a very productive evening.
Both sides say they're hoping that kids can get back into the classroom tomorrow. Dave?
Jennifer, Illinois had a big surge in foreclosure activity last month, nationwide.
Foreclosure filings across the country totaled 193,000 in August. That was 15% fewer than in August a year ago, but 1% more than in July 2012. Darren Bloomquist of the foreclosure website RealtyTrack says the one-month uptick came mostly in Illinois, Florida, New York, and New Jersey.
As lenders in those states play catch-up with foreclosures that were delayed over the past year and a half.
The delays came from judges slowing down the foreclosures, mainly because of faulty paperwork from lenders. In Washington, Steve Taylor, Fox News Radio.
Coming to a theater near you. Led Zeppelin. The band's reunion concert in London back in 2007 will be released in movie theaters next month. And then Led Zeppelin's Celebration Day will be out on DVD in November. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
AM 1460, WVOX, and WVIP HD4, New Rochelle.
Did you know that regular aerobic activities such as biking, walking, or swimming can make your heart stronger, improve your circulation, decrease blood pressure? Given the benefits, it's time for everyone to get up and get moving. But before you start any physical activity program, Sound Shore Medical Center encourages you to check with your healthcare provider about what type and level of exercise is appropriate for you. For a copy of Sound Shore's brochure on physical activity, please call 914-365-3597.
Here's your updated weather forecast for your Thursday. We've got some great weather coming up over the next several days. High pressure is anchored just over central Virginia as fair weather extends from eastern Canada right down to the Gulf Coast, northern Florida. And that means fine weather, warm weather for us to both today and tomorrow. But a frontal system exists from the central Great Lakes down to West Texas, and that'll be slowly trudging towards the area and should be moving through sometime on Friday night, early Saturday, possibly with some scattered showers or an isolated thunderstorm. Then fresh high pressure moves in just in time for the weekend with very nice temperatures. Sunny weather for today, highs near 80 on southwest winds, clear tonight, some patchy fog overnight, and lows near 60. And sunny on Friday with Friday's highs in the lower 80s. Partly cloudy on Friday night, then cloudy with a chance of some showers or a thunder shower after midnight, nighttime lows lower 60s. Nice weather for the weekend, sunshine on Saturday, mid-70s and northwesterly winds, clear at night, sunny on Sunday and Monday, both days highs in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather is brought to you on WVOX Worldwide by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center, right for New York.
Recently, some people have had questions about the plants that generate our electricity here in New York. You have a right to know the facts about one of the most important providers of power to our area. Did you know that Indian Point provides about a quarter of the electricity for New York City and Westchester, with virtually no emissions and at lower cost? Indian Point's operations are constantly reviewed to ensure safety by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. It's among the most thoroughly reviewed nuclear energy facilities in the country, and that there are multiple federal inspectors on site, and the law guarantees them access to any document, any employee, and any portion of the facility. That's accountability, every day, all the time. I'm Teresa Motko, and I'm an engineer here at Indian Point, and my family and I live in the area. All of us have a right to know why Indian Point is right for New York. Visit rightfornewyork.com for answers.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of Temple Israel of New Rochelle, Dr. Luigi Mealy, Ari Brown, and the Sound Shore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
Thank you for joining us on 1460 WVOX, America's great community radio station where many different voices are heard in the land. Opinions expressed on our community and open line programs are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors. As always, we're privileged to amplify the voice of the people here on Vox Populi 1460 and worldwide at WVOX.com for you and yours.
Whether you're coming
in the morning
or going,
well, my way home,
we're your radio companion, VOX.
1460 WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lebensold, your host for the series of The Natural World, Education and Culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens.
Chang, your co-host for today.
We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion.
Today's news from the natural world. Today's Thursday, September 13th, 2012, the 79th day of summer. The autumnal equinox is in 9 days, a week from Saturday, September 22nd. We have lost 2 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 37 since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose at 6:34 this morning. It will set at 7:07 this evening. We will have 12 hours, 33 minutes of daylight today. The moon rose at 3:51 this morning. It will set at 5:28 this afternoon. New moon is in 3 days. The next full moon will be in September 30th.
Okay, just want to correct one little thing. It's the autumnal equinox, in case you missed that. The autumnal equinox is the official beginning of autumn, even though it feels like autumn now. Summer actually ends. The calendar event is the autumnal equinox, which is a week from Saturday. But you kind of feel autumn in the air as soon as Labor Day. It's kind of funny, like a curtain comes down, right, Lily Beth? It's like,
yes.
Labor Day comes and poof.
That's it.
And Lily Beth was bemoaning the loss of summer, but I'm happy to have autumn. Mm-hmm. We do not have our tide information today. I regret that. If you're going boating, you'll need another source. But just do be aware that the tides will rise twice to high and twice to low. They will ebb and flow. Today. They will do that. That I guarantee. Now, our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Marine Lance Corporal Alec R. Terwisky, age 21, of Dubois County, Indiana. He was with the 4th Marine Division. He was actually a reservist with the Marine Forces Reserve, assigned to the 1st Marine Division. He was killed by a roadside bomb in Helmand Province on September 3rd. Specialist Kyle R. Rookie, age 23, up the road here in Oswego, New York. He was with the 4th Infantry Division. He was killed in a non-battle-related injury, or he died from a non-battle-related injury, in Jalalabad on September 2nd. Staff Sergeant Jonathan P. Schmidt, age 28, of Petersburg, Virginia. He was with the 20th Support Command, one of two soldiers killed when they were attacked with small arms in Ghazni Province, September 1st. The other soldier killed was Staff Sergeant Jeremy S. Border, age 28, of Mesquite, Texas. He was with the 1st Special Forces Group. Again, small arms fire is when you're shooting people with guns and grenades, just little stuff. No cannons, no bombs, just I shot you, bang, bang, you're dead. These four American servicemen were alive when last we met 2 weeks ago. Please think of them, feel for them, and for their families. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the near future, because there are no more deaths to report. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. Our president says that the Afghanistan war will be coming to an end, that our troops will go home. I believe it's next year. I certainly hope so. I would love to drop this feature from this program. Okay, now it's time for the Culture Corner, my reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions, and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. Now, I have two things to review for you today, and Lily Beth has one. The first one that I have is Can-Can at the Westchester Broadway Theater. Our good friends there, this is their latest offering, just opened last Friday. Glory Crampton as Pastiche is captivating, and Patrick Richwood as Boris is amazing. Patrick is a veteran of the stage, TV shows, commercials, and 24 motion pictures. His professionalism clearly shows. The rest of the cast is fine. The choreography is great by Richard Stafford, who doubles as director. This is Richard's 9th production with Westchester Broadway Theater, and he uses this wonderfully large stage to the fullest. And Richard is also choreographed on Broadway. One note I feel compelled to add is the performance of It's All Right With Me. It's a Cole Porter score, so there are no bad songs, but this is one of the most recognizable and prettiest. This is the one that goes, oh, it's your face, not his face, but da-da-da-da, it's a-da-da, da-da-da-da, but It's All Right With Me. It's a very poignant, haunting song. And unfortunately, Tony Lawson, who's playing Aristide, does not do it justice. There's a quality to the song, a sadness, a poignancy, which he does not do. So this performance brought nothing of the sort to the stage, and that was my one disappointment with it. I have to tell you that, because I love the song, and I was looking forward to it, and bingo, I was let down. But since this is dinner theater, we feel it's appropriate to comment on the dinner as well as the theater. So the former chef retired recently, and dare I say it, the food seems to have improved somewhat. Still too soon to make a definitive judgment, but we will keep our eye on the dinner part of this dinner theater. It was never bad. It was always pretty good, but it just seems the prime this day was great. So we'll keep our eye on that for you. The Westchester Broadway Theater is in Elmsford. It's easily accessible from the Sprain and other major highways. Always worth the time and the price. There's plenty of free parking, and the wait staff is professional and courteous. If you find yourself free one day with nothing to do, then this is definitely something fine to do. Westchester Broadway Theater, Elmsford. And now we also saw Tribes off Broadway at the Barrow Street Theater in the West Village. This poignant drama, somewhat reminiscent of the far better Tracy Letts play August Osage County, but that's not a bad thing. You can be very good and not measure up to August Osage County, which is one of the great plays of the last decade. Brother Billy is deaf, but he doesn't sign. He resents his parents for not learning to sign, which somehow kept him from learning. He hooks up with a woman who does sign, but who still hears. She's not deaf yet. Her parents were deaf, and that's why she learned signing. But now she, her name is Sylvia, is losing her hearing, and she makes the distinction between knowing what hearing is and then losing it, a process with which Billy, deaf from birth, cannot be familiar. There's another brother, Daniel. He has issues of his own disguised as auditory hallucinations. The family patriarch, Christopher, treats both with denial. He says, don't smoke pot and the hallucinations will go away. Well, you know, auditory hallucinations are not pot generated. So there's a psychosis going on here, but they don't belabor that point. He says that we didn't learn signing because we treated all of our children as equals and did not recognize or acknowledge handicaps. So be it. Daughter Ruth has also returned to what is now a full nest after having been empty, and she's just having a bad day, okay, a bad life, but not unusually so. Just can't find a good boyfriend, good job, good place to live, you know, life. Still, Tribes does succeed, and as an off-Broadway play, it doesn't carry the big ticket price of a Broadway production. Pretty well written, very well acted and directed, and well above average as drama. It has been extended until January. The Barrow Street Theater is an intimate venue, no bad seats. If you appreciate drama, this will be a very worthwhile experience for you, Lilibeth Chang.
Yes, and we also watched Mulberry Child, which is currently playing at the Quad Cinema near the West Village. Today is actually the last day that they will be showing the movie. This is an independent film, a documentary film, about Jiang Peng, who moved to the United States to pursue her graduate studies in 1986 after the Cultural Revolution in China. So throughout the film, we learn about the challenges and struggles her family faced in China, as well as we also learn about how the process of her writing the book and turning it into a movie has changed her relationship with her daughter, Lisa. I thought it was great, and it really makes me reflect on my own relationship with my parents.
Wow.
And today's actually the last day that they're playing it at the Quad Cinema.
Anyway, you enjoyed it, and it puts you in touch. That's great.
Yes.
Okay, our first guest today is Dr. Vincent Fischetti. We just have a minute to bring him on before we take our break, but let's introduce him. Dr. Vincent Fischetti is a researcher at Rockefeller University in Manhattan. His cutting-edge research endeavors to approach treatment of illnesses caused by resistant bacteria, which we colloquially call superbugs, with viruses, or more correctly, I think, the enzyme lysine. Welcome, Dr. Vincent Fischetti.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Good morning. So did I get that right? Are we using viruses? Are we using lysines? Or is it a distinction not worth mentioning?
Well, it's called lysine.
Lysine, sorry.
And it's produced by a virus that infects bacteria. These viruses only infect bacteria. And they produce this enzyme called lysine that we're using.
Okay. You know what? We have our music. So rather than rush the question, just hang on for a couple of minutes. We'll bring you right back. And we'll get more into the lysine.
Okay, Bob.
You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. I am Bob Lebensold. She is
Lilibeth Chang.
And if you're listening in Tuscaloosa or Tuskegee, Alabama, Tuscany or Rome, Italy, Rome or Troy, New York, Troy, Turkey, Troy or Sparta, Greece, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live. This program is environmentally sound. We come to you the second and fourth and usually the fifth Thursdays of the month when there is one. And we will be right back.
With business news at 20 minutes past the hour, every hour, here's the latest update from the Fox Business Network on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox Business Network. Stocks are searching for direction in early trading as investors wait on the latest news from the Federal Reserve. The central bank is wrapping up its two-day interest rate meeting today, and expectations are that another round of stimulus will be provided to the U.S. economy. At 10 a.m. Eastern, the Dow is just about flat. The expectations from the Federal Reserve as oil prices climbing higher, with crude hitting a more than four-month high as prices once again close in on the $100 a barrel mark. And owning a home might be a better option than renting one. According to a report from real estate website Trulia, homeownership was the better option in all 100 U.S. metropolitan cities it covered. With mortgage rates hovering near record lows and rents climbing faster than home prices, the costs of homeownership are becoming the more favorable option in most corners of the country. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Diane Macedo.
Have you heard all the gold commercials? The expert with the best deal? The oldest and largest dealer? Did you call to discover high retail commissions? Wake up. Do it right. Don't waste your money. Get more gold. Discover how. Call Goldworth Financial. Request your guide. Free. 800-257-GOLD. 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 Visit goldworth.com.
There's always something happening with Bob Lebensold on 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com.
1460 WVOX.
Okay, we are back. I am Bob Levinsohn. Lily Beth Chang is here with me in the studio. We are speaking with Dr. Vincent Fischetti, Rockefeller University researcher, a scientist, a professor, a chairman of something. I'm not exactly sure what. Perhaps, perhaps you'll tell us. But we were talking about the treatment of superbugs with viruses and lysins. Why don't you just rewind that to the beginning, because I kind of lost the train there. What is a lysin? You might even just tell our audience who may not know the difference between a virus and a bacteria, actually. And if you introduce a virus into a body, is that not a disease pathogen in its own right?
Well, certainly if you introduce the virus that infects human tissues, it would be a problem. But these viruses infect only bacteria. But we're not using the virus in this technology. We're using an enzyme that the virus produces in order to get out of the infected bacteria. So what happens is the virus infects the bacteria. It gets into the bacteria and it replicates and it produces maybe 50 to 100 new virus particles. And now the virus has a problem. It has to get out of that bacteria to now infect other bacteria. And it solves the problem by producing an enzyme, a very powerful enzyme that punches a hole in the cell wall of the bacteria, allowing the progeny or the baby viruses to get out of the bacterium. And what we've done is clone the gene for that enzyme, and now we can produce large quantities of that enzyme. And when we add it back to the bacteria, it drills a hole into the bacteria and kills it virtually instantly. So no one's ever used this technology before. We've known about it for a long time, but no one has actually taken it and added it back to a bacteria and shown that it kills very rapidly. So, it works in animal models where we've infected animals with either staphylococci or streptococci or pneumococci, and then added the enzyme to that animal, and the enzyme then goes, seeks out the bacteria, and kills the bacteria.
So you're not actually introducing viruses then. In fact, you're not actually using the virus. You're you're manufacturing the lysin.
We're manufacturing the lysin. The virus has nothing to do with it. The gene only came from a virus, but the virus has nothing to do with it. We just think it's a purified protein, highly purified molecule that we add to the infected animal or person, and enzyme will kill the bacteria very rapidly.
And it's a little hard for me to wrap my head around.
It's like taking if the bacteria were a balloon.
Yes.
If you punched the hole in that balloon, the balloon would explode, and exactly what happens with the bacteria. Bacteria are under a lot of pressure, about 10 to 20 atmospheres of pressure. So, and the bacteria maintain that pressure by a cell wall that maintains that pressure inside the bacteria. If you punch a hole in the bacteria, it's like punching a hole in a balloon.
Inside. Yeah. Well, now, a large percentage of infections begin, as I understand it, with infestations to mucous membranes, which is your eye, your nose, your mouth, your genitals. And my understanding is that your research attempts to control colonies of bacteria before they get a foothold in the body. So are you actually, is the intent of your research to identify, let's say, Staphylococcus or something that's a superbug that's resistant and kill the colony before it has a chance to actually invade the body?
That's one application for the lysin, yes. About 90% of infections begin at a mucous membrane site. So, for example, MRSA, the methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, one of the superbugs that you find in hospitals and you can now find them in the environment. These organisms are carried in the nose. And what happens is that they migrate from the nose into the blood and can cause infection. Or if you have a wound, for example, in a hospital after a surgical procedure, you can touch your nose, pick up that organism, and when you touch your wound for whatever reason, it becomes infected. So what we can do is take the lysin, spray it in the nose of individuals, and remove the pathogenic bacteria without disturbing the normal flora, because these enzymes are quite specific for the organism from which they've been produced. So we can kill only the pathogenic bacteria or the disease organism without affecting your normal flora, which are necessary for normal health and well-being.
Sure. So once you've identified an agent like this MRSA, did you call it?
Yes.
Okay, once you've identified a super bug, you then have to find the lysin that will attack that particular bacterium, right?
Right. Well, we have one right now. We have an enzyme that kills all staphylococci. So it kills either the normal staphylococci, which can also cause infection, and the superbugs that cause more infections than the normal staphylococci.
So
the enzyme will kill all of them.
Are you saying that superbugs are no longer a problem because you can now zap them with this stuff?
If it becomes a widespread use, it could control these organisms in a way that we've never had the opportunity before, because you can't use antibiotics to control colonizing pathogenic bacteria, because you run into more difficult problems and it increases resistance. But by spraying just an enzyme that's very specific for a particular bacteria, you avoid the resistance problem and you can solve a problem of colonization and the source of the infection.
Okay, but this particular agent that you've identified is good for all of the staphylococci, not individual species. So are bacteriophage treatments effective against bacteria once they do gain a foothold? Once you're really sick with this stuff, can you still treat it?
Yes, absolutely. We've also shown in animal models that animals that or mice that have been given pneumococci and pneumococcal pneumonia and then treatment shortly thereafter, these animals are completely cured very rapidly.
Now, are you in the testing phase still, or are human therapies available yet?
Well, the technology has been licensed by a company in Yonkers, New York, called Contrafect, and Contrafect is aggressively developing this enzyme. Expect to be in human trials in January, and then maybe 4 to 5 years after that, if it all these the phases work, it should be in humans in public use, maybe in 5-6 years.
So if someone were to buy Contrafect stock today, in 5 years they could actually make some money, right?
Yeah, unfortunately they're not public yet, but they will be public in about a year.
Lilibeth?
Yeah. Now, Dr. Fischetti, here's a question for you. Then, you know, I've always been told that using antibiotics is could be a little bit dangerous because of resistance. But what are the is there a similar risk with lysin?
No, actually, we don't see resistance to these lysins. It's very unusual, but it's the way these enzymes have evolved over a billion years that they actually target a molecule in the bacterial cell wall that the bacteria can't change.
Dr. Fischetti, we have to take a quick break. Just hold that thought,
sure.
And we'll be right back. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460. This is Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Levinsohn. She's Lilibeth Chang. Guest is Dr. Vincent Fischetti, and we will be right back.
And national news 3 times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton criticized the anti-Islam video that has triggered anti-American protests overseas.
This video is disgusting and reprehensible.
But Clinton also said it's no excuse for the violence aimed at American diplomatic missions.
There is no justification, none at all, for responding to this video with violence.
Yemen's leader has apologized to President Obama for today's mobbing of the U.S. Embassy there by anti-American protesters. At the National Cathedral in Washington, the late astronaut Neil Armstrong is being remembered.
It was courage, grace, and humility he displayed throughout his life that lifted him above the stars.
NASA Administrator Charles Bolden. Fox News. We report, you decide.
If you can't get to your local synagogue for the upcoming High Holy Days, Temple Israel of New Rochelle will once again be broadcasting the services live on 1460 WVOX. Rosh Hashanah services can be heard on WVOX Sunday, September 16th from 6 to 7 p.m., the eve of Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah Day, September 17th, the services can be heard live from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Kol Nidre service can be heard on Tuesday, September 25th from 5 to 6 p.m. On Yom Kippur morning, Wednesday, September 26th, the service will air live from 9 to 11 p.m. And the Yom Kippur afternoon Askara, Memorial Service, and Nila will be broadcast live from 3 to 6:30 p.m. For information, contact Temple Israel of New Rochelle at 1000 Pine Brook Boulevard or by calling 914-235-1800.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Updated weather forecast for your Thursday. Some great weather for today. Plenty of sunshine or highs near 80 on southwest winds. Clear to partly cloudy at night, overnight lows around 60. It'll be sunny weather on Friday with Friday's highs in the lower 80s. Partly cloudy at night, the chance of a shower overnight, nighttime lows, lower 60s. Sunny on Saturday, Saturday's highs mid-70s. Mostly sunny Sunday, also high of about 75. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
No matter where you go.
Driving in truck all day long.
Driving to work.
We're right there with you. WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
Welcome back to WVOX 1460. Your host for today is Bob Levinsold and myself, Lily Beth Chang. We're here with Dr. Vincent Fischetti. Hi, Dr. Fischetti.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi. So then before we went on a break, we were talking about some strategies that bacteria might have that could help them resist lysin therapy. Is that correct?
Yes, you were saying that in conventional antibiotics, we see resistance. And would we see resistance with the lysin technology? And my answer is that we don't. We have now several enzymes that we've developed against many of the major pathogenic bacteria, and we've never found resistance to our enzymes. And it's because these enzymes have evolved for a billion years, the phage have figured out that if they target a particular structure in the cell wall that the bacteria cannot change, then they'll be assured that their virus's progeny, their babies, will get out of the infected bacterium. And because of this, we don't see resistance to the enzymes because the bacteria can't change that target that the enzyme is cleaving to cause a hole in the bacterial cell wall.
So you mean these bacteria will never evolve to protect themselves against these lysins?
You can never say never when you're dealing with bacteria, but
or evolution.
It'll buy us more time. It took about 75 to 100 years for bacteria to eventually become resistant to conventional antibiotics. Well, this could buy us much more time than that because it's very difficult for them to change the structure of the cell wall that the enzyme is targeting, and therefore resistance would be a very rare event.
Okay, now Lily Beth, did you want to? Okay, there's one phrase you're using, one term which I have to object to. Of course, I'm sure you're just being conversational, but when you say baby viruses, first of all,
well, their progeny, they're the progeny of the virus that went into the bacterium,
right?
And it produces maybe 50 to 100 new virus particles.
But they're exact clones anyway.
Exactly,
they're exactly the same,
right?
And babies, if people listening who don't quite understand viruses, you have to understand that, we've had this discussion, Dr. Fischetti, that whether or not viruses are living, and we agreed that since they can reproduce, that's one aspect of living, but they can't do anything else.
Right. When they're reproducing, they could be considered living, but when they're a viral particle, they're merely protein with a nucleic acid inserted into that protein. And they're not really alive at that point in time.
Okay, now, smallpox has been seen as the weapon of choice for bioterrorists. And you were involved, even pre-9/11, in searching for a smallpox cure. Is that still seen as a necessary project? And how far have you come in that quest?
Well, we never actually worked with smallpox. During the 9/11 anthrax attacks, we were working with anthrax, and we basically have a using the lysine as a way to kill anthrax.
And you can now cure anthrax, according to your that wonderful video on the website that just shows them exploding.
Yes, I mean it potentially can be used as a means to control anthrax during an infection.
And this would be in animals and people.
We've done it in animals. It's never been done in people.
It's kind of hard to find people that are infected with anthrax anyway, right?
That's the problem. really can't test these things in humans.
Okay. All right. You and your colleagues, you've developed enzymes that target and kill a wide range of common pathogenic bacteria,
yes,
showing that natural enzymes derived from the viruses, which we've discussed, can successfully target and kill disease bacteria, including those resistant. Now, this is a point that we really want to make. These are the ones that are resistant to standard drugs, and I think that's what the people listening would like to know. If they have a superbug thing, they're having a problem with that, can they get it? When will they get it? But you did say 5 years, probably.
It's at least 5 to 7 years from this moment. We have to go through phase one, which takes about 6 months to a year. Mm-hmm. Phase two, which could take another year or two. And then phase three, which could take 2 to 3 years.
Now, is there any way to treat viral illnesses yet? This would seem counterintuitive since they are viruses creating this themselves. But on the website, you have, in addition to the streptococcus bacteria, you also have pictures of HIV and influenza viruses. What are you doing with those?
We don't work with that. It's not on our website. It may be one of the other websites.
Maybe it was on
at the university.
Yeah, or Contrafect. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, or Contrafect.
Okay.
But our website, we basically work on bacterial pathogenic bacteria. These enzymes will kill basically all the major pathogenic bacteria, whether they're resistant or not. And also, one of the features of the enzymes is they enhance the activity of conventional antibiotics. Basically, what they do is they disturb the cell wall that allows antibiotic to get in more effectively. So organisms that are resistant to antibiotics can now be treated with low doses of antibiotic plus enzyme, and they will be killed as efficiently as if they weren't resistant at all.
Okay, so you will now use the antibiotic in addition to the lysine.
Exactly. What it tends to do is disturb the cell wall. One way in which bacteria become resistant is they thicken their cell wall.
I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Deb, what's going on?
So what the enzyme does is it permeabilizes the cell wall, allowing the antibiotic to get in more efficiently. So you can now take antibiotics that can't be used anymore because of resistance,
yes,
and bring them back into the treatment regime, because you can treat that bug with a combination of enzyme and antibiotic.
So the antibiotic kind of is a body punch to the bacteria, but it won't knock it out, and then you knock it out with the lysine?
Well, it's a combination. So it'll basically you're using a dose of lysine that will just weaken the cell wall, that allows the antibiotic to get in more effectively, and it's a combination of kill. The lysine weakens the wall, the antibiotic gets in and kills the organism. So actually, we've shown in our animal models that you can kill the organism hours much more rapidly than if you treated with antibiotic alone or with lysine alone.
Well, the graphic, the video shows that in real time, the whole field of bacteria are just evaporated almost instantly, within 10, 15 seconds.
Exactly.
Fascinating. So why would you, if the lysine does the trick, why would you use the antibiotic as well?
Well, in some cases, you may want to lower the dose of lysine to allow the antibiotic to work. In some cases, you just may want to do that. It just gives us the option to either use lysine alone at higher doses or lysine at low doses with even a low dose of antibiotic. You can use antibiotics at doses that are well below their toxic levels. Some antibiotics do have toxic levels, and you would have to raise the dose of the antibiotic, and even lysine, any compound that you add to an animal could have a toxic dose. So now you can use very low doses without any problems of toxicity in any case, either the antibiotic or the lysine, and you can control the infection. In fact, right now, the FDA is now recommending that combination therapy, even antibiotic combination therapy, is probably one of the better ways of killing pathogenic bacteria than using monotherapy with a single antibiotic.
Okay. So, all right, so we're going to keep an eye on this research, and at such time as it takes the next step, we're going to report on that as well. Okay, sure. Dr. Fischetti, I know you have a meeting to go to, and we have another guest waiting, so thank you so much for being with us, and
we will
be in touch. Very fascinating research, and I'm sure our listeners got much from it.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Thank you, Vince.
Bye-bye.
Our next guest is Mark Yannicello. He's an Italian-American tenor, born in Brooklyn, raised in North Carolina, and now he lives in the Netherlands, and that's where we speak to him from. Mark is one of the stars in an upcoming musical based on the poetry of our good friend, Supreme Master Ching Hai. The production is called Loving the Silent Tears. Also starring in the show are Jody Watley and John Cicada. I'm sorry, I'm used to calling the insect Cicada, but his name is Cicada. Joining us from the Netherlands, I believe Amsterdam, welcome Mark Yannicello.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hi, good. Are you in Amsterdam? Did I get it right?
I'm in Amsterdam right now in beautiful sunshine for an exception. Usually we have a lot of rain.
Shoot.
Hello, New York. I miss you.
That was my next question. I was going to ask you how the weather is in the Netherlands.
Well, most of the time it's rainy and gray. We have worse weather than they do in London. But fortunately today the sun is shining, probably because I'm talking to my hometown in New York.
You're from Brooklyn, yes. Well, you know, some people actually like rain, so you're saying that it's worse than London. Maybe some of us think it's better than London if it's grayer and more rainy.
Well, it could be, but when it rains, you know, for 26 days in a row, then that gets a little bit weird.
That's a bit much, but, yeah. But when when there's bright sunshine for that long, it's also kind of...
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Well, when there's bright sunshine for so many days in a row, it's also kind of a drag, right?
Yeah, also then you don't appreciate it anymore. When we have the sunshine here, we really appreciate it. Everybody runs outside and goes, look quick,
look.
Before it goes away.
That's like in Alaska, they have, I forget what they call it, some kind of bogus, something funny. Anyway, we have to take another break. Mark, we will be back with you in just a moment. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Mount Bethel, Pennsylvania, Bethel or Bethel Woods, New York, Bethany Beach, Delaware, Baltimore, or Bethesda, Maryland, or Bethesda, Wales, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You're listening live. I am your host, Bob Lebensold. She is my co-host,
Lily Beth Chang.
And we will be right back.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The Secretary of State urging calm as our diplomatic missions in the Middle East come under growing attacks over a video produced by an American. Hillary Clinton calling the video insulting Islam.
Disgusting and reprehensible.
Also condemning those responding with violence, saying there's no justification. Also adding,
the United States government had absolutely nothing to do with this video.
The latest embassy to come under attack in Yemen.
The question is, where else can these protests spread? Muslims in India getting worked up. This man says the movie should be condemned and people must protest. There have been smaller outbreaks of protesting in Iran, Gaza, and across North Africa.
Fox Radio's Emily Wither. And at the National Cathedral in Washington, a final farewell underway to Neil Armstrong, the first man to take a giant leap on the moon. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The city of New Rochelle has long awaited the release of the 10-10-10 Project book. It is finally here. On October 10th, 2010, dozens of volunteer photographers fanned out through our fair city to capture the people and places, events and activities, history and life of New Rochelle. Photographers spent an entire day taking thousands of pictures from the north end to the waterfront, from the east side to the west end, top to bottom, side to side. Photographers took to bicycles, kayaks, boats, and even a small engine plane to capture the brilliance of a gorgeous full Sunday. The 10-10-10 project book is 160 full-color and full-size pages, hardbound, and contains forewords by Mayor Bramson and city historian Barbara Davis, with witty and delightful captions by Bill Mullen. Reserve your copy now and save $10. Books can be ordered now at the pre-publication discount price of $29.95 at 10-10-10-NR.com. The profits from the book will be given to the Thomas Paine Cottage. Order your book now at 10-10-10-NR.com.
Here, there, and everywhere.
Every day, every night.
We're number one for fun.
At work, at home.
WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
Okay, we are back. The tides were handed to me, so those of you who were waiting on that, let me just get them off quick. The next high tides in New Rochelle, we're pretty high right now. It turned high 9:46. Next one is 9:50 p.m. Yonkers, next one is 8:01 p.m. These are your high tides. Tarrytown, 8:45 p.m. Haverstraw, 9:11. And in Peekskill at 9:24 p.m. But they're pretty high right now. Okay, Mark, you're back, and Lily Beth has a question for you.
Thank you, Bob, for the tight. Hi, Mark. So before we went on a break, we were talking about how much you miss New York, and you seem to be very fond of New York, and I know this is not just because you're from New York. There has to be more than that. Mind sharing?
Well, I mean, you know, New York, I've lived all over the world, and New York was the city I grew up in. It's the city where all my dreams started. And, of course, you have a connection to that place where you start your career. I started my career in New York. I started singing in the subway in New York. And I went from the subway singing Grand Central Station to singing in Carnegie Hall. So, of course, my memories of New York are extremely good. And, of course, I was born there, you know, so it's my hometown.
Wow. So from singing in New York City subway to singing in Carnegie Hall, how did that come about?
Well, because I had terrible nerves when I would audition. So I went in the subway. They had a new program. This is in the mid-'80s called Music Under New York from the MTA. You had to audition to get a permission to sing in the subway. And I was really good at it. 25 years ago, I was making $500 or $600 an hour singing in the subway. And while I would sing, I would hand out my resume or sell cassette tapes, because there weren't even CDs back then. And a conductor, her name was Eve Queller from the Opera Orchestra of New York, walked by, heard me sing, took my resume, and I got a call, and I ended up auditioning and singing the lead role in Roberta Devereux in the Young Artist performance. And then I sang a smaller role in the Carnegie Hall performance. So I went factually from Grand Central Station to Carnegie Hall.
Wow, that's impressive.
Okay, now we do want to talk about the production
Loving
the Silent Tears, which is a one-time performance. It's Saturday, October 27th in the Shrine Auditorium in L.A. Now, they're flying you all the way from the Netherlands, from Amsterdam to Los Angeles, so you must be terrific, and the show must be, tell us.
Got an amazing group of talent together. You know, Vince Patterson, who worked with Madonna, with Michael Jackson, is directing it. Our choreographer did High School Musical 1, 2, 3. Of course, John Secada and Jody Watley, everyone who listened to music in the 80s and the 90s knew their names. They were huge stars. And I feel very honored to be a part of this amazing group of people. The script is very interesting. I just recorded a demo of my big song in the show. It's all based on the Supreme Master's poetry, and it's a story about a search for something more than just our temporal life. It has a spiritual through line, which I find very appealing. You almost don't have that in commercial theater anymore. That's what appealed to me, and that's why I was very pleased to be a part of the show.
So it says that it's an unprecedented musical experience. The show combines the magic of theater, the mystical beauty of traditional dances, soul-stirring realm of poetry, and more. Wow. And it's only one time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, they're going to film it for television. Okay. We're doing it live in the Shrine Auditorium is where they used to do the Oscars before they built the Kodak Theater, which is now called something else, I think the Dolby Theater. And I think it's like for 4,000 people. It's about the size of Radio City, I think. Mm-hmm. And that will be filmed. And, of course, we've got a couple of weeks of rehearsal. I'm flying over to the U.S. first to see my family in North Carolina the first week of October, and then I fly out to L.A. And it's very exciting. I'm really, it's quite a thrill. I haven't been on television in the U.S. in a very, very long time. I haven't sung in L.A. in about 10 years. So it's going to be really like a second homecoming for the West Coast for me.
So this production is actually the organization of Supreme Master Ching Hai. We have had her on this radio program. She's a great lady.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's a great lady. Have a great deal of affection for her. I've never been in her presence.
I can imagine, yes.
Never been in her presence, but we had a video feed, so she was right here on my desk, and I was right on her desk.
Okay.
So have you had any experience with her? Have you contacted her? Have you spoken
with
her?
No, not yet. I don't know if we will have the chance to meet her when we're in L.A. I don't have so much information. I do a lot of movies and television in Europe as well, and of course I'm singing everywhere, and so it's a very, very busy time right now, but I'm very much looking forward to going out. The organization has been wonderful to work with. It's been really a joy from day one, and I've been in the business since I'm 4 years old, so I'm an old guy now. That's a big compliment coming from me.
You're not such an old guy. What are you, you're in your 40s or something?
I'm going to be 50 on November 3rd.
Oh, you're still pretty young, right?
But of course, I look marvelous, darling. Don't.
Well, I'm looking at your website right now with your shades. You is that a recent picture or was that taken 20 years ago?
That picture was taken on May 12th.
Really?
And yes, really.
You don't look like
and
a guy.
No Photoshop. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I was a vegan for about 6 years. Now I'm a vegetarian, and I never did drugs. And of course. I drink about 5 liters of water a day.
Oh. Well, of course, so, the Supreme Master Ching Hai and her organization are all vegans, so they may...
Yes, I know.
They may charge you for just being a vegetarian.
Well, you know, I developed some allergies. That's why I had to go from vegan to vegetarian. And but, you know, I think it's just important that you live a healthy lifestyle and you respect your body and respect the things around you. And I guess... that each body is built a little bit differently.
Well, we agree. But
like I say, I'm quite hopeful that we'll have the opportunity to meet her when we're out in L.A. And if not, her words are very powerful, and
absolutely.
I think it's going to be a very unusual, like I say, just amazing amount of talent assembled, and a thrill to be a part of. I'm thrilled to be a part of it.
Excellent. Well, of course, veganism is not just the healthy part. It's also... the loving of animals and not wanting to take any of their eggs or milk
exactly.
or anything away from them. Yeah. Now, but in addition to being an opera singer, though, you're an artist, a painter,
yes.
an Elvis impersonator, and you've written...
I'm an Elvis interpreter.
I beg your pardon.
I never studied... I'm not even a fan of Elvis.
So you sing his songs in an operatic way?
No. When I sing pop, my pop voice sounds just like Elvis. Love me tender... Love me sweet, never let me go. I don't even have to do anything. And I played Elvis 400 times in a big musical about his life.
Well, I've also listened to your recording of Suspicious Minds, so you do Elvis's material. Now, you've also written musical plays, though. Seven, did you say?
I'm sorry?
You've written musical plays.
I've written 6 world premiere musicals, and... I'm currently in pre-production on a children's musical called Cloud Number 9, about a rectangular cloud who doesn't find its place in heaven, comes down to earth and meets a oak tree that raps and gets acquainted with all the elements, and at the end of the thing, he teaches the wind how to sing, and when the wind sings, it burps. Something for kids.
Lily Beth, do you have anything to ask Mark?
I know that you... Can you tell me a little bit about your first children's book called The Cloud Family? Does that have anything to do with...
That's right. I wrote the story that The Cloud Nine is based on when I was 10 years old. It was an assignment for my third grade teacher in North Carolina. And I found the... It was a comic book I drew. I found the book years later. Actually, my teacher came to one of my concerts and gave it to me. And then I thought, actually, it would make a great story... For a musical, it's about acceptance, and it's about learning to make the best of what you perceive as your own faults and turn them, you know, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade kind of thing.
That's amazing. So the Cloud family, so Cloud Nine is an inspiration from the Cloud family.
Exactly, and it's the ninth cloud in the family. That's why it's Cloud Nine, except he's rectangular.
Okay, Mark, Mark, it's great to have you. Thank you for joining us from the Netherlands, from Amsterdam, a city which I've been to once and really enjoyed. When you're passing over New York, give a wave and I'll be watching.
I would love to. Okay, thank you very much, and I hope we get to speak to each other again.
That'd be great.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Well, I'd like to thank, or we'd like to thank Dr. Vincent Fischetti and Mark Iannicello for joining us today. Dr. Fischetti's work is exciting and promising, and we will bring you future developments as we become aware of them. Mark Iannicello is also a fascinating guy. We didn't have too much time to spend with him. The musical, Loving the Silent Tears, promises to be a major show and just one performance. Quite amazing. We expect to have other performers on this program in advance of the production date. I think in 4 weeks we're going to have some more of their people. Our thought for the week, great spirits have always encountered violent opposition from mediocre minds. Any final thoughts for Lilibeth Chang?
I think it's very inspiring on what Dr. Fischetti has been researching on. And I also learned that I didn't know that for learning from Mark Iannicello, I didn't know we had to audition to be a Subway singer.
No, I didn't know that either.
Great respect for that. Yeah, that's amazing.
That is interesting. And he said he had trouble auditioning in the first place, but of course once you're out there in the subway, now you're just performing, so
right.
I understand
because all that. The time we pass by these subways and we say, oh my goodness, another singer out there, but really now that I see one of them, I'll really think and say, oh wow, they actually auditioned for this. Pretty nice.
That was interesting. Yes, and I also look forward to never having to worry about superbugs again with Dr. Fischetti. But you know, when you have two guests of such from such, as we say, diverse disciplines, not only do they come from different places, but they do such different work. One brings joy and one brings health. I mean, that's pretty cool.
It's a great combination.
That's pretty cool. Okay, stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio, the best small station in the U.S. of A., perhaps the world. Next up, the famous Howard Sterman. Thanks to Bill O'Shaughnessy and Don Stevens for all you do, and especially thanks to Bill O'Shaughnessy for your passionate belief in and support of the First Amendment. I am Bob Lebensold, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens.
I am Lilibeth Chang. Thank you very much for listening.
And remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle.
You're here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.